prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and today's a little bit of a different day. I am working on a Wednesday for the first segment of the program. Butch Paul is usually my co-host for the first segment anyway, and sometimes the second and third, but he's out today. And I'm very happy to announce that I'm going to be here with Wendy Wilson for the first segment of the program. So we will be bringing you our opinion and commentary. And she's got great information today. We're going to talk about food additives and the damage that can be done. But today is Wednesday, March 8th, 2023. And good afternoon, Wendy.
Oops, had my button pushed in. Good afternoon, Melody. What an honor to be here with you today.
Oh, no, it's mine. It's my honor to be here with you.
Well, I mean, it's been like forever since we've done radio together. It just seems like, I don't know. Well, Pastor Butch is, you know, always mentioning how time just flies, and it's Wednesday. And he says, I'll see you tomorrow. It'll be Wednesday before you know
it. That is so very true. It just goes by so fast. And it has been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember we did radio on Friday nights once. I remember that.
I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah. Those were the good old days.
I know. That's, you know, that was before Obama, I think, even. Wow. we go way back.
Well, I don't know. I'm only 39, so be careful how you talk about how old we are.
Okay. So. Well, let's talk about food additives, you know, and some of them are causing health problems.
Before you go there, I want to do the market report.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me go ahead and do the market report, and then we can do that. We have gold today. It tried to come back, but, you know, it's still a lot of pressure with all that talk about rate increases. 1,815, pretty much flat for the day. We saw 1,825, so it was 10 bucks higher earlier in the day. Silver's the same kind of a day, 20.13 in the New York spot price aftermarket. Platinum was up $5 at $946. Pressure on palladium, $1,448. The USDX today, that was up 0.02, but it's still 105.63. And we have more pressure on crude oil, down $1.10 at $76.48. Now, the stock market was down, I don't know, 100 points or so earlier in the day, and they brought it back to 58 points to the downside. 32,798. S&P was up 5 points. NASDAQ was up a whole 45 points. So not a lot of movement there in the paper markets. European markets, earlier in the day, they were all red. And they did come back somewhat with the DAX and the FTSE, but the France was still lower. Asia markets were mixed. The Nikkei was barely up. Well, it was up almost 0.5%. 10-year yield, 3.981. So that's popping up just a tad from yesterday. And let's go and have a peek at natural gas. Natural gas was down another 3% at 2.60. And I just want to make a reminder tomorrow, maybe tomorrow, Friday, I want to talk about what the paper markets really have done in the past year. And there was a great article by Pam Martins and Russ Martins. And they did a comparison of what the Dow has done in a year, what the S&P has done in the past year, and what the NASDAQ has done. So, you know, you're looking at some pretty hefty declines, even though we people usually think more of a short-term basis as to what the markets are doing, especially from last fall. Everybody's all happy because we've seen some big turnarounds. But when you look at it over a year, not so good for the past year. And I think that's an indicator of how it's going to be going forward. So with that, and we will, I guess, Wendy?
Yes,
food,
I'm here.
Food additives.
Oh, yes, so yes, yes.
What, well, anything good at all about them or all bad?
Well, it's really, we're going to talk about it specifically today about your stevia sugar substitute. And, you know, because it's been reported recently that your artificial sweetener stevia is being reported as causing strokes and heart attacks. Wow. I thought, well, that's interesting. So it's kind of interesting. Stevia, it's been on the market as a competitive sugar substitute since the 70s. So why all of a sudden is it now being listed as the culprit for cardio events? And, you know, I don't know. You know, we've got the cardio events with the COVID issue. They report that. So I don't know. So I just thought it was kind of odd timing for this to come out. So let's look at a little history. Stevia is a shrub. It's cultivated in Australia and South America. It has been used for centuries by our natives there as a sweetener. However, commercially, stevia really didn't become well known until after its discovery in the 1900s by a Swiss botanist, Dr. Moses Bertoni. And by the 16th century, this plant was used to sweeten your medicines and foods. So the active compound that seems to offer that sweet taste comes from the leaf, and it has stevitol glycosides in it. Now, in 1931, French researchers, Bridal and Laville, they identified the glycosides as offering sweetening, and it was a sweetener power that was half that of sugar. So it was sweet, but it didn't have all the calories and all the things you don't want. So what could be the cause now of all of a sudden stevia causing supposedly cardio events? So the stevia products on the market may have had added ingredients to them. And so what we see is they've added erythritol. It's an FDA-approved thickening agent. So a recent study that was published in July 2022 in the Journal of Nature said erythritol can cause heart attacks and strokes. And the additive can be found in the bloodstream of its victims. So medical science is calling the event outcome a cardiometabolic disease when it's really provoked by an additive. So long-term use of the product on a sweetener, long-term use is usually about 3 years, according to medical science. Erythritol, when they add it as an ingredient to your stevia, it's not a naturally occurring plant, erythritol. So the journal report said that the long-term use offers major adverse cardio events. So the events were myocardial infarction, which would be your heart attack, stroke, and even death. So what they're doing is they're taking erythritol from a natural source, and they can't synthesize it, but they're doing something to it that makes it life-threatening. So apparently the food additive encourages a lot of thrombosis or blood clots, and the study reports these are enhanced thrombosis situations. Here's a quote from the study. They say erythritol safety has been confirmed by numerous health authorities around the world, including FDA and WHO. So the origins of ethanol, or urethanol, excuse me, urethanol. This is from Food Insight. They said that urethanol is found in, naturally in foods. It's found in grapes, peaches, pears, watermelon, mushrooms, fermented beer, cheese, soy sauce, and wine. So if urethanol is naturally occurring in some foods not known to cause cardiometabolic disease, then why is it being reported to cause that as an additive in stevia? Well, this is suggesting that the urethanol and the stevia was changed when it was processed into a food additive. So these large-scale productions of your urethanol is creating a type of yeast fermentation of the glucose, and they can sometimes do that with corn and wheat starch as well. But your final product kind of looks like a powdery white crystal. Food Insight says this: urethanol is commercially produced for use in baked goods, beverages, candies, chewing gum, chocolates, and tabletop sweetener packets. So I don't know, Melly, hearing all this, do you think stevia is really causing these events, or do you think it's something else?
Well, I guess it's the additives, like as you said, is causing the things. And you know what? A lot of people eat, this is my question, a lot of people are eating these protein bars.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you know they add all kinds of stuff. I was just looking at mine, and it does say you don't know what type of sugars that they're adding to it. It just, you know, because usually they just say total sugars. They don't tell you.
They don't tell you what kind? They don't say it's like, you know, a sugar substitute or real sugar?
Let's see. This looks like it just says sugar, sucralose. I don't know what that is. Sucralose?
Yeah.
Is that a sugar?
It's a sugar, yeah. And, so I'd rather have the real sugar.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Right? Well, you know, National Library of Medicine in December 2017 said this: we cannot chemically synthesize urethanol commercially. It's not a worthwhile endeavor. It results in a biotechnological production. In other words, it's too expensive. So research efforts have been made to improve concentration, productivity, and yield instead. So stevia without this additive is not life-threatening. So it is possible to obtain now sugar substitutes and even diet foods. A lot of times you see stevia added to your diet foods. You can get those without a lot of these additives or urethanol added. The Cleveland Clinic, there's a researcher there, Dr. Stanley Hazen. He's with the Center of Cardiovascular Diagnostics and Prevention. He was saying that urethanol blood levels put people at the top 25 or twofold higher risk of cardio events. So this is not a natural occurring, additive. This is something that they do to it is causing this. So Dr. Hazen said it was on par with, you know, a cardio risk for people that have diabetes. So an alternative to your sweeteners, there's lots of them out there. If you don't want, you know, added urethanol to stuff, you can try coconut blossom nectar. That is pretty much cardio event free, apparently. And it kind of retains a lot of minerals and vitamins as well. So there's a double benefit there. Honey and maple syrup are also safer alternatives as a sweetener if you want to use those as well. Personally, if you're going to use honey, honey is going to taste different depending on where it's harvested. I learned a lot about honey, Melanie, when I had a customer who had beehives down in Arkansas. And he had to send me some honey. And when he did, it was this beautiful dark amber color, darker than what, you know, you see in the stores, you know. Mm-hmm. And so the flavor was different. So I've had honey from our organic market. There's one called Earth Fair, and the honey's lighter, but it was harvested from local bee farmers, and their honey tastes different, looked different, and tastes different. So I asked him, the guy down in Arkansas, so what makes your honey so different? I mean, it's a very nice flavor, it's amber and it's dark, and he says, well, it depends on what the bees are pollinating. He says my bees pollinate trees instead of flowers. So I prefer the honey that comes from the pollinated trees. I think it's just a lovely, lovely honey. So You don't need a whole lot of honey either. It's really, really sweet, but it's considered a food. So it has more minerals and nutrition in it. So
let me ask you a question, Wendy. Honey never goes bad.
It can crystallize. Yeah, it can
crystallizes, but you could just melt it, can't you?
Yeah, you can. You can still use that. Yeah, it just that's why when you go get honey in the stores, sometimes they'll have additives to it so it doesn't separate and do that. Mm-hmm. But I'm like with you. You know, you just kind of stir it up a little bit. Yep. You can warm it, and stir it up. But yeah, honey's just got a really long shelf life. So I love it on oatmeal. So, and by the way, there's a way to cook oatmeal. That will be better for the digestive tract. So use rolled oats, not the cut oats, and you bring your water to a boil, throw your oats in, and then take it off the heat, put the lid on, but make sure steam escapes, and let it sit 4 minutes. It's just enough to tenderize the oat. If you overcook oats, they release a mucilaginous material, and they get all sticky and gluey. Yep. You'll get more protein out of the oats if you drain it out of the hot water within 4 minutes, and it's just tender enough to you can chew and eat it, but it's not gluey. So best way to eat.
And I loved oatmeal, but I had to stop eating it because it would upset my digestive system. So I know. I should have talked to you a whole long time ago.
I know. It's just we tend to overcook them, and so. Mm. So, yeah, same thing with spaghetti. You don't want to cook it too long. It kind of gets gluey and sticky. You want it al dente kind of deal. So, yeah, make your oats an al dente kind of thing and put some nuts and whatever it is you put in there. Honey's good on quinoa, too, your ancient grains. I don't know if you ever make those, but you can use honey on that. I look at it this way. The body can metabolize a natural food source way better without any difficulty with residues and accumulation of things you don't want to keep compared to a processed type of deal. So when they've done studies and they even looked at supplements that were, more synthetic, isolated, ascorbic acid or isolated minerals compared to a mineral that came in a whole food, example would be vitamin C, ascorbic acid versus the vitamin C you would get in, let's say, rose hips. The body liked the rose hips, and you didn't need mega doses of it because you have other alkaloids and nutrients with it, so the body can uptake and utilize that in a proper way and void out what it doesn't. So it's a chemistry thing. Same thing with calcium. I've said this over and over. Animal calcium has a bunch of calcium, but it doesn't have boron and magnesium for the uptake and absorption of calcium. This is why people still have osteoporosis issues and stuff, and they're eating a lot of yogurt and cheese and things. It's a plant-based calcium profile with the boron and magnesium already with it that the body prefers, and you can correct osteoporosis in like 4 months on a plant-based calcium.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible the difference. And the studies really haven't been, I think, done right to shine through on the organic produce, your green leafy vegetables, oranges, and medicinal plants that have your calcium, because it's a superior form of calcium because of the way it's formed in chemistry in its natural set. So body knows what to do with it, and you don't have to guess at mega doses. Like labs kind of guess at your, milligram doses and stuff, and they usually overdo it with the isolated synthetic stuff. You don't need to do it with the natural. Hmm. I know.
I mean, it really is amazing. And, how long does it take if people have been feeding their bodies for a long time without the proper nutrition and so forth? Can they turn that all around in a...
Yep. Actually, there's been studies where, you can switch your food diet up from an unhealthy to a healthier, cleaner, more organic one, and it changes the DNA in 6 days. That's how fast it is.
Wow.
So you have a lot of power with your food. So what you put in the body does matter. But I see a lot of mineral depletion because of the way they grow crops now. They just fertilize. They don't let the land rest. So we got mineral depletion that adds to our metabolic disruption. So we have to focus a lot on our nutritional sources.
And you know what? That kind of makes sense because you hear a lot of people who try to turn healthy and so forth, and they get sick.
Yeah. I mean,
so that's just their body adjusting to the healthy food.
Yeah, it can be. You can have some withdrawals from sugars, yeah, from caffeines, and all these things. So yeah, it can take several weeks for your body to shake it out. But give us a call at Apothecary Herbs. We'll send you a free catalog, and we're also having a spring sale, so you'll save 25%. 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Always a blast.
All right. Thank you, Wendy. It was good to be here with you. And, folks, we will be replaying last Wednesday's second and third segment with Butch and myself. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too bad to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
All righty, folks, we are back, and that's a good bumper song. Get you back in your seat and thinking about it a little bit, moving a little bit. But anyway, we're joined now by Melody Cederstrom, who is the owner and proprietor of Discount Gold and Silver, folks, the one that you need to call, and I mean call for any precious metals at all. And I'm going to ask you a question in a minute about metals, and then we're going to go to a lot of news. Melody, are you there?
I am here.
It's good to have you.
It's good to be here. And well, I do really appreciate it. I know Wendy does a terrific job.
Oh, yes,
and I know you do a terrific job, and it does allow me to, you know, just finish up some things before the program starts. So I do appreciate everyone doing that. So thank you.
You're more than welcome. It's a team effort. We all work together in different ways. You helped me with the airtime on our broadcast, and that really blesses me. So we work together as a team. I mean, we're doing our best to get the truth out to the people and make a difference in somebody's lives for the glory of God, and that's what we're here for, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, anything other than that, we're missing the boat. So, do you think you want to say before?
Miss the boat.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
And you don't want to miss that.
So, if you do, you have anything you want to do, you want to say before I ask you a question?
Oh no, you're going to ask me a question?
I am. I'm going to ask you.
I'm going to ask you to tell us the truth.
How old are you? I want to know the absolute truth. No, just kidding, of course. But anyway.
And I would just be kidding also, of course.
You go ahead. What do you want to say?
Nothing.
No, nothing, really. But I want to ask you, the Morgans, the silver dollars, you know, when they started in 1860s, like that, run up through the 1920s or 30s, are those still good investment today?
I think it depends. I think it depends on a person's objective when he's purchasing gold and silver, and it also includes his budget. So is it the best buy for some? No. Is it a good buy for others? Yes. I don't think it's, and I think that's how people should purchase things, you know, because sometimes you still want to focus on, you want to get as much silver for your money. So if you have a smaller budget, that might not be the best way for you to go because you're, you know, you're not getting as much silver in the old silver dollars. But yet if someone has a, you know, a larger budget to, he can, you know, diversify a little bit more. So. So yes, they're great. They're very stable in price, and they do very well in you know, in these panic-driven markets. But is it for everyone? No, it just have to wait and see. And that's the problem with everyone out there, and a lot of these other dealers and so forth. They sell everything to the same people, whether it fits their needs or not. And you know, it's like selling a shoe size nine to everybody. And you might not wear a size 9. So it's kind of the same thing.
Okay. So, yeah, they're in it for the profit only. They're not really in it to make somebody the best investment. I understand that. I do. That's common.
So,
it's sad.
So did I answer your question?
You did. Now, staying with silver, are the silver dollars original or the silver eagles a best buy?
And my answer is the same.
Okay. So it depends on what the needs are and what they can afford.
Exactly. They perform differently. They're purchased for different reasons, you know, and that no one ever gets an education. So, again, you know, the silver eagles, when the premiums were so high, there was other things to purchase. You could buy foreign silver. You could buy, you know, silver rounds. So there was other options to you for you. Premiums are coming down on the silver eagles. So it's a little more affordable. So if you don't have any silver eagles and you purchased all silver rounds before because of the price difference, then pick up some silver eagles. If all you have is silver eagles and you want to continue that, that's great. So, again, it's what you already own, what your objectives are, your budget, everything falls into play.
Now, folks, that's about the most honest answer you can find anybody. It's what you can afford, what you need, and she'll guide you through that. That's what makes Melody different than most businesses. She's not out just to make a quick profit. She'll tell you the truth. And I know for a fact some people don't like the truth coming from anybody. So, but she's just telling you the truth because she cares. She's always been with me ever since I've dealt with her. She truly has been, and that's why I'm on the radio with her, because Melody Seastrom is one woman that I know I can trust completely in every area, especially when it comes to finances. So anything you want to add, Melody, before we get started in news?
1-800-375-4188.
That's a good add-on. Folks, do give her a call. Ask them questions. Seriously, I don't care if you got $100 or $10,000 or whatever you have. Call and ask questions and see what she offers. It doesn't hurt. And one thing about it, once you get this in your hands, you're going to be glad you have it, and you won't miss the paper at all. You can always send it back if you want to for money, a real paper for paper. But you have that in your hand to use whenever it's needed. That, to me, is a little bit of security in a bank. And in a real bank, it's in your hands. It's not in somebody else's possession where they can do what they want to with it. So that's my advice for the day. But I don't know if this is – well, we'll see. Donald Trump, with majority support, takes 30-point lead over a crowded 2024 GOP primary field. Will we go through this again, folks? I don't know. Will make a difference? Probably not. Didn't last time. Former President Donald Trump has taken a 30-point lead over his next closest possible 2024 GOP presidential primary competitor and now has majority support in a crowded field, a new poll from Emerson College released on Tuesday shows. A survey taken entirely after Trump's highly publicized visit last week to East Palestine, Ohio, shows Trump a 55% 30 points higher than Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is down to 25%, meaning Trump has now crossed the majority threshold in national GOP primary polling. The poll of a 10-way race shows Trump and DeSantis as the only two possibilities breaking into the double digits. Trump announced his 2024 campaign November last year, right after the 2022 midterm elections, and DeSantis has been considering a run and trying to build his national profile in the weeks. The recent weeks, including with the rollout this week of a book and events over the last couple of weeks in places like New York and Illinois. DeSantis has said he will not make a decision on whether he will run until after Florida's spring legislative session, which would put a timetable for such an announcement for sometime in late May or even June. I don't know, Melody. I'll be quite honest with you. I mean, I'm going to assume his polls tell the truth. I didn't think Trump would rise that fast in polls again. I really didn't. I thought some people were kind of fed up with him and dropped that side. I don't know.
Well, the thing of it is there's really, I mean, what are your choices right now? So it's kind of based on who's running now because you still don't know whether DeSantis is or not. So you got Nikki Haley and you got that other guy. So nobody knows who the other guy is, and I'm not sure everybody was fond of Nikki Haley. So with those three choices, yeah, he would still probably come out on top. And I think that's only because there's no other campaigners right now. So I think it'll change if DeSantis gets in there. And there's a couple of other ones in there that could probably pull a lot of votes away from. I'll tell you what, Youngkin out of Virginia, he'd get a lot. I think he would get a lot of liberal votes. For those people who voted for Biden, even though they voted for Trump the first time, those people would vote for Youngkin. Absolutely.
Well, no, the polls had the poll they're taking is 30 points ahead of DeSantis right now. I don't know what happened with
DeSantis. DeSantis isn't running.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we will see. Yeah. We'll see. Next year, I guarantee it will be a political year. You'll be tired of hearing about it before the election comes. I promise you that. But anyway, here we go. And this is something that's, I'm glad the Supreme Court's taking this up, but I can't believe it's even up for question. U.S. Supreme Court doubt over student debt relief looms over Biden agenda. The skepticism expressed by conservative U.S. Supreme Court justice towards President Joe Biden's move to forgive $430 billion, which is almost, folks, almost half a, I mean, $430 billion, almost $500 billion, half a trillion in student debt, not only cast doubt on the plan's fate, but also signaled a trouble ahead of it for the use of executive power to get things done in his remaining time in office. Questions posed by conservative justices during arguments on Tuesday or Biden's debt relief indicate that the conservative majority court could strike down his plan. The plan is an unlawful overreach of executive power, and it certainly is. That's not, a matter of fact, folks, I'm not a scholar in the Constitution, but I have read it. The executive branch has no authority in finances whatsoever. That's up to Congress, period. And Congress has no authority to forgive debts on somebody that signed up to pay for it themselves and tax it to you and I. They don't have authority. That don't mean they won't do it. They just don't have authority. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? They didn't have any authority to do Obamacare.
No, they didn't.
They didn't have any authority to do the, for the illegal aliens, the...
Yeah, the amnesty you're talking about?
For the young ones?
Yeah, the Dreamer, Dream Act.
Yeah, so they didn't have the authority to... So, you know, they just go ahead and do it anyway.
That's very true.
And the funny thing about it is, they say, well, this isn't constitutionally correct. We can't do it, but we're going to do it anyway. Even Pelosi said about the student loans forgiveness. Well, you know, that really isn't under the Constitution, but we're going to do it anyway.
What's the Constitution? And where are the Republicans kicking back and really raising Cain over this?
Nowhere to be heard.
No.
Nowhere to be heard.
I haven't heard Trump chime in on that or Nikki, the rest of them. None of them chimed in and say this is wrong. None of them have.
I haven't heard them. At least they haven't done it. Well, you know, the media isn't carrying it, though, either. So even if they did, you're not going to hear it. And you know what? Here's something else. I mean, it's just like, what is wrong with these people?
I agree.
It's, you know, but New York City plan. New York, look at this. New York City plans to dole out $21,500 each to 2020 Black Lives Matter protesters. New York City is planning to comp. This is from the Washington Examiner. New York City is planning to compensate protesters from a 2020 demonstration following George Floyd's death with $21,500 each in a new settlement. In the proposed settlement, the city has agreed to pay $21,500 to each member of the class action suit, plus an additional $2,500 to those who were issued desk appearance tickets. If it is approved by a judge, the settlement would amount to an estimated $4 million to $6 million. There were reportedly around 300 people in attendance at the protest, and roughly 90 have already settled with the city regarding alternative complaints. The class action suit participants alleged violations of their rights under the First, Fourth, and 14th Amendments stemming from a June 4th, 2020 protest when police allegedly boxed demonstrators in. The settlement could end up being one of the largest of its kind if approved. In 2010, a judge approved a settlement wherein Washington, D.C. agreed to pay $18,000 each to demonstrators who were arrested en masse in 2000. The protesters have been arrested while demonstrating near the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund buildings. The settlement was ultimately $13.7 million. So, hey, the next time there's a demonstration, I'm going to go, man. I might get some money.
Especially if they burn down houses and businesses. Yeah. Then we'll go for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This was because the police allegedly boxed demonstrators in. Well, what the heck are you supposed to do?
This is America today. It truly is. But for folks, and I have two of my sons went to college, and they paid money out to go to college. They just paid their loans off. One of them just paid off a couple of years ago. And they kept their word. They signed the paper and paid it off. And I paid what I could on some of them, too. So I have, it'd be wonderful if the world could run that way, where we just forgive everybody their debt and not worry about it. But somebody's got to pay it. I don't want to pay their debt. I didn't sign the paper. I didn't benefit from the college. If they didn't benefit from it, that's not my problem. That's their problem. So if they didn't learn enough or be educated enough to make the money pay it back, I can't help that. This is the same thing as me signing for a new home and somebody paying off a home because I can't afford it any longer. It'd make it easier on me or a new car or anything else, Mel.
Well,
it's the same idea. I'm sure it's coming. We'll get that in a little bit. That is coming. You're right. That is coming. Yep. Get that in a little bit. Now, there's some warning.
You know what, Butch? You know what, Butch? They wouldn't even be considering this if this country wasn't in such dire straits financially.
I agree.
Because I also just had an article. Biden said he's going to raise taxes in March budget proposal. So he said yesterday that his March 9th budget proposal to the U.S. Congress will include some higher taxes, including on billionaires, but will not violate his pledge not to raise rates on Americans making less than $400,000 a year. We've heard that tune before, haven't we?
And he did raise them last time. He did last year.
And the thing that is, to the billionaires, guess what? What, you don't think they can't avoid any rate increases that Biden can approve? Are you kidding me? Let's place them on the billionaires because they don't have to pay it anyway. How stupid. It's a campaign thing. And the thing of it is, it'll all funnel down to the people who can't afford tax increases anyway. So ridiculous.
They got it on a roll. Go ahead. You're doing a good job.
I mean, it's like, are you kidding? And he says, I want to make it clear, I'm going to raise taxes. Some. And these Republicans, okay, they're threatening not to raise the U.S. debt limit unless he agrees to sharp spending cuts. Well, raising taxes isn't spending cuts, is it?
Not our.
Biden has promised to cut the deficit by $2 trillion over 10 years in the upcoming budget. Okay, we're going to cut the deficit by $2 trillion over 10 years, but that only means we're going to increase the budget or the deficit by $10 trillion in the next 3 years. But we'll cut it in 10. I mean, it's so stupid.
Well, you know, Wendy was saying during the last segment that her property tax went up 40-some percent this year. Went up 40. The property, went up $1,200 a year.
Yeah.
This is what we're seeing, folks. This ain't going away, and I don't want to be discouraging everybody, but folks, this is not going to go away. They're going to eat us alive if they can, and basically, they really are. Already are with inflation, and they're lying to us about a lot of things. Inflation is one of them. We have not seen a break in inflation. Again, I say this over and over, because the two main factors that we all spend money on, food and energy, has not been counted. So therefore, the numbers are at best fallible, but they're false. Not easy. Go ahead, Melody.
We're heading into the break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby, don't say baby. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And we're just talking about lots of things and getting our little things into
a tizzy.
Something here. Tizzy here. into a tizzy. So, yep, anytime you talk about taxes, whether they're going up or whether they're going down, you know, they never give you the true details. And they never truly work, so, except we pay more and more and more and more, Butch.
That's how it always goes and always will be that way, because people just don't understand. They're ripping us off. And I know it's, we don't like to accept those things. We like to think that they're somewhat honest, but we're kidding ourselves. We're kidding ourselves. Now, we will announce some more news, because I think this, of course, is important. You know that Russia... Moscow itself got hit with drones, and that is not going to go over well, I'm sure, but mass drone attack strikes Russia in an intensifying campaign. Chaos erupted in Russia overnight as drones swarmed multiple regions, sparking an explosion at an oil depot and deployment of fighter jets near St. Petersburg, according to local reports. Attacks occurred in the Krasnodar, Brinsk, and Belgorod regions, as well as the Republic of Adyghe and Moscow. In the Krasnodar region, a drone strike occurred at about around 2 a.m., landing less than 100 feet from a Russian defense ministry barracks. Two drones filled with explosives landed at nearby Rosneft oil depot in Tosp, sparking a blaze that was quickly extinguished, according to the Russian outlet Baza. Fighter jets were deployed to take down an unidentified flying object near Pulkovo Airport in St. Petersburg, causing a temporary shutdown of the airport. According to local authorities, incoming and outgoing flights were temporarily halted, though no reason was given for the move. However, Russian Defense Ministry later claimed that the whole thing had simply been a training exercise and the airspace was reopened. There were no reports of injuries in any of the attacks. Attacks are part of what local media described as a mass drone attack that appears to have intensified in the last 24 hours. While the authorities have not attributed the attacks to any particular group or individual, pro-war Russian military bloggers suggest that the drone attack could be preparation for a spring offensive by the armed forces of Ukraine, with the purpose of such strikes will be to destabilize a home front and spread panic among Russians. That could be a fair assumption. I know Russia is increasing their attacks. That could be a fair assumption. But when you start hitting the capital of the country, I think probably you're going to expect some retaliation. What do you think, Melody?
Well, you would think. But we really hadn't. That was like, that happened when? Yesterday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, so there really hasn't been any comments. So is it you always have to ask, is it propaganda? Did they really do that?
There's no way we can know for sure.
There's no way we can know for sure. But I didn't see any response. Now, maybe there is responses out there from Russia and so forth. But, more than, But have you seen anything?
No, I haven't. I'm waiting to see what happens this evening. This has been a day or so. Let's see what happens. It may have taken a little while to get the response together. But we'll see soon, I'm sure.
So that's, that's big. And you didn't hear anyone talk about it.
No.
On any of the news programs. And I reported it briefly yesterday because that's a big deal.
As far as I know, Ukraine is not taking credit for that either, as far as I know. Maybe they did. I didn't hear it, but I didn't hear them. I didn't hear Zelensky come out and say, we can hit you at the heart of your country. I didn't hear him say that. Anybody else say it either. Did you?
It was probably the same people who hit the pipeline.
That could be us then. Okay. Gotcha.
Oh, is that who hit the pipeline?
That seems to be the going talk right now anyway. But we know it was. We know it was. We you and I discussed it back when it happened, who would gain from it. So, yeah, obviously these are things that people need to pay attention to because this is actually heating the war up. And the next article I want to share with you is something I think that no one wants to admit losses in the war. I remember when I was before I went to Vietnam, and while I was there, a quick count of casualties like they usually did. They would say, "Well, the U.S. had 10 losses and the VC had 150 losses." They count it like a score game. You remember that? You remember doing that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they count it like a score, like a baseball score or a basketball mm-hmm. score. So the U.S. scored 150, the VC scored 10. Like we're not talking about human lives here. We're talking about numbers. But nonetheless, this article said most Ukrainian soldiers on Bakhmut front line killed within 4 hours. A retired Marine fighting in Ukraine told ABC News the front lines are a meat grinder where soldiers survive an average of 4 hours. Troy Offenbecker is fighting alongside Ukrainian forces in the Donbas region. Moscow and Kyiv have been battling around Bakhmut for several months as Russian forces have slowly made gains around the city. In January, Germany estimated Kyiv was losing a three-digit number of soldiers daily fighting in Bakhmut. At that time, the White House believed President Volodymyr Zelensky was committing too many lives and resources to defend the city. Offenbecker's commentary suggests that the situation may be getting worse for Ukrainian soldiers. It's been pretty bad on the ground. A lot of casualties. He assessed the life expectancy around 4 hours on the front line. He said the Russian attack on the city is not letting up and had turned into a meat grinder. The artillery is nonstop. Offenbecker explained the Russian forces are fighting around the clock. The Russians have maybe run into a shortage of shells lately, But the past couple of weeks, it's been nonstop all day and night, he told ABC. Now, I have never been in a direct shelling back and forth situation, even when I was in Southeast Asia. But I have friends who were. And I don't care how you look at it, Melody, where you live in a grass hut like they did in Nam and Laos and places, where they live in a thatched hut where they eat out living in the rice fields or whatever they did. When your home is destroyed, your home is destroyed, whether it's a mansion or a one-bedroom shack. That's your home. Everything you have, only thing you own, everything you hold dear, you keep in your home, including your family. So where do you go when your home is destroyed? And right now in Ukraine, and I'm sure some of us get hitting around the borders of Russia too, is being really hammered when the people who did not start the war, who did not want the war, are losing their homes. And that's the saddest part of it. Any comments on that?
No, it is very sad. And, you know, but what's the answers? You know, China came out with some sort of a, you know, perhaps talking points at least to, you know, maybe have a reprieve in the shelling and so forth. But, you know, do you see anybody going to, you know, Geneva or Switzerland or, you know, wherever to sit down and saying, how can we make this stop?
No,
for
you
Ukraine,
don't.
It's an all or nothing. And to some degree, I get that. But I mean, Ukraine isn't like every other nation out there. So I don't know. It's really, really it tugs at people because they want to support it. But yet on the other hand, how many billions of dollars? This is not our war. You know, and I was reading an article the other day about Ukraine where, you know, he was thanking the United States for helping them with their budget. So all our money is not going to weaponry and things like that to fight Russia. It's going into their government. It's going in to pay their bills.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, no, we shouldn't be doing that. So how much money? So the next, they've allotted another $10 million to be paid through September. So, you know, we only get to hear, you know, a billion here and a billion there. But no, it's $10 billion has been promised to be paid by September, so much each month or something like that. And that goes to their budget. It doesn't have anything to do with weaponry. It doesn't have anything to do with fighting the Russians.
Well, if China would step in and aid Russia now, and again, I say this, it's no different than us stepping in and helping Ukraine. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Different parties, same thing. But China has a lot to lose with trade partners all over the West. Not just in the U.S., but all over the West. And all the nations that are aligned with the West.
True.
And so they have a lot to lose. So what would they do? I don't know. But in reality, it's no different than us supporting Ukraine. It's not our war. And it's really not China's war. But if they get involved, this is going to increase so many things. It's unbelievable. And China,
right.
If China starts hurting financially, they're not going to step back.
China stayed out of it. But look look how we garnered all the European nations to fight, you know, to do all the sanctions and to do this and to do that. So we basically started that first. And you know what? Maybe this war would have been over if everybody had stayed out of it.
Oh, it would have been.
And we don't even know who would have won.
No, it would have been over. No doubt. But that's not going to happen that way. The U.S. has been nosing up people's business for many, many years, longer than I've been alive. So anyway, you want to move on now to something else? Well, I mean, you talk about that for a long time. We make a lot of points on that for sure. But it is what it is. It's happening as we speak. It's not good news, but it's happening. And we have to face up to reality, folks. This is going on, whether you like it or not, this is happening in the world today. And this is where I live and my family lives. That's just all I got to say about that. Anything there, Melody?
Nope.
We'll go ahead and look at something else here I think is interesting. Chicago, this is going to be a blessing in Chicago, I do believe. And be off, they'd be really hard-pressed to find somebody worse than Lori Lightfoot. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot ousted fourth front-runner's face-off in April. She's the first mayor to lose an election in Chicago since 1983 that was an incumbent. First one, and then was Jane Bryan, who lost back then. But this woman has been a disaster for Chicago. I mean, a total disaster for Chicago. And now they're going to have a runoff between Paul Vallas and Brandon Johnson. Next month, I think it's April 4th, have a runoff to see who's going to be, running in the primary and to run for the election for the mayor of Chicago. But I would say that most Chicagoans are not going to miss Mayor Lori Lightfoot at all. You have any comments on that?
Hallelujah, she's gone, but we don't know what's replacing her.
No, we don't. It might be even worse. It very well could be. I mean, I don't know. But she certainly was a disaster. So we'll see what happens with the next one in line, I guess. That's all we can do, just wait and see now. I want to try to get this last article on before you quit. Oregon Bill would pay homeless people $1,000 a month, Melody. But you mentioned the first part of the program. The state of Oregon is weighing a bill to give homeless and low-income people $1,000 a month in universal basic income. Boy, we talked about that years ago. Here it is. The Oregon legislature is considering a bill to establish a People's Housing Assistance Fund demonstration program through the state's Department of Human Services. Oregon's bill is the latest in blue states looking to give hundreds and hundreds of people in universal basic income. According to Bill Track 50, legislation would provide 12 monthly payments of $1,000 to individuals who are experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness are severely rent burdened or below 60% of the area median income. The bill would require a study on who is receiving the money, broken down among a few demographics, including race, veteran, not there, say they go, including race, of course, veteran status, and risk of domestic violence. Additionally, the bill is then set in January 2026. The $1,000 payments can be used as the recipient's discretion. The supporters say it will be used for rent and other living expenses. Of course it will. They never use it for drugs or anything. Never. However, a discretion could backfire. Some recipients could use the money for other costs like alcohol and drugs. Oregon is not the first place to consider universal basic income payments. The California state is planning to give universal basic income to transgender and non-binary residents. So what a wonderful place to live. Transgender residents in Palm Springs, California are eligible to receive UBI of up to $900 per month, solely for identifying as transgender and non-binary, no strings attached. The new pilot program will have $200,000 set aside for the allocation after unanimous vote by Palm Springs City Council last week. Isn't that wonderful, Melody?
Mm.
Man, talk about something special. All you have to do to get your money is say I'm a pervert.
Now we need to move and demonstrate.
There you go. I agree. and then we can win a lawsuit.
That's about $3,500 a month. Okay.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I'll read this headline about to quit. Americans charge $66 million to help illegal aliens fight deportation. Cities, some cities in the country are taking taxpayer money to fight for illegals who were told to leave. They're taking taxpayer money to get to harm lawyers to fight these cases. How's that for another kick in the pants?
Only in America.
Yes. And I think about our time, so you might want to take us out.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. And, yeah, there's so much going on. We could be here another 3 hours to bring information. But Gold had a nice day, 1010, 1837, 1838, and silver is back up over $21. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams.